This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:35 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Philip and Chuang. And now moving over to the Sarawak state election, the Election Commission has set December 18th as polling day for the 12th Sarawak state election. Nomination day is on December the 6th, while early polling starts on December 14th. More than 1.2 million voters will be eligible to cast their ballot.
82 seats will be contested in an election that has been delayed as there was a declaration of a state of emergency due to the pandemic, which suspended the automatic dissolution of the assembly. But earlier this month, the King consented to lift the emergency for Sarawak, paving the way for elections. So the question really is, what can we expect and will this be a barometer of what's to come in GE15?
So to help us answer those questions, we have on the line Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. James, good morning. Always good to have you. I'm sure this will be the first of many conversations this Sarawak election season. So can you set the stage for us? What will be the major issues that will be campaigned on for this election?
Good morning. So as many of your listeners know, this thing has been going on for the last 2 years. The assembly was supposed to be dissolved last year, but because of the emergency, everything was held up. And after the emergency was lifted, they had to put in a special emergency just for Sarawak to delay the election by 6 months. So the 6 months was supposed to have ended 1st of February, just before Chinese New Year. But GPS, the ruling party in Sarawak, was afraid of the under 21 voters, the new voters coming in next year. So they decided to go to the Agong and ask the Agong to leave the emergency. So that's the reason why we're holding an early election now. Now, in terms of the main issues, I think the main issues are fairly obvious. I think for the opposition, they will use the fact that the GPS has called for early election as one of the key issues. Many people are very afraid that this will turn to be a super spreader event. As you know, the COVID situation in Sarawak is quite bad, especially in terms of usage of ICU beds in the major Sarawak hospitals. So I think this will be a key issue. The second issue is, of course, by calling the elections now, they're denying a lot of young people, 18, 19, 20 years old, more than 500,000 of them, you deny them the vote, their chance to go out and vote for the very first time. And of course, you have the usual issues, MA63, state nationalism, local issues, bread and butter issues, issues about local parties versus Malaya-based parties. And of course, every major party, they will claim to be the champions of Sarawak. So for example, the ruling party GPS, openly, they've been saying this for the last 2 or 3 years, their philosophy is Sarawak first. Anything else can come second. So I think it will be quite an interesting election. But on the other hand, I think it will also be quite a boring election because everybody has been expecting this for the last 2 years.
So many issues, interesting but a bit boring. So do you think turnout will be high?
Well, in terms of the turnout, the Election Commission, they predicted a figure of 70%. I suspect it will be between 60 to 70%. So in terms of the turnout, I expect a lower turnout in the urban areas, especially the older people and vulnerable groups. There's a Hokkien Senko Kiasi, people are afraid to die after COVID. So I expect most of those people will stay away. But in the rural areas, I don't expect any low turnout, especially in the longhouses, because it'll be based on everyone sort of grouping together to vote at the same time. So in the rural areas, the answer is no, but the urban areas, yes, the turnout will be lower in the urban areas.
Yeah, and James, aside from GPS, who will contest under their own logo for the first time? Who are the other parties we should pay attention to?
Sure. So basically on the opposition side, there's two sets of party. One is the Pakatan Harapan Sarawak, of course, and Pakatan Harapan Sarawak mirrors the one in Peninsula, Malaysia. They're the DAP, PKR, and Amana. But unfortunately, because they couldn't agree on a lot of key issues, for this coming state election, they've decided to go their own way and use the own logo. Part of the problem is the seat distribution issue, they're highly contentious. So in this case, PKR, a bit difficult because they don't even have a single leader in Sarawak. As you know, their previous leader jumped ship and set up his own party. On DAP side, they are the only real party with real election machinery, but they also have their own internal problems. The biggest problem is the new SOP in terms of this election. As you know, the DAP, being an urban-based Chinese party, they rely a lot on rallies, especially 1 or 2 days before polling. They have these gigantic rallies in the major urban centers to build the momentum. Now, all that is out of the window because you can't do that under the SOP. And in case of Amana, no real missionary, no real presence on the ground. So for the Pakatan side, the only real opposition against the government is really our DAP. For PKR, no real missionary, except for individual PKR candidates who's been working on the ground very, very hard for the last 2 years, like certain candidates in dire areas like up in Bintulu, in Baram area, there's 1 or 2 candidates with a good chance. And in terms of the local party, the two most interesting one is PSB. PSB is a local-based party headed by a former city minister, Wong Soon Koh. They are very, very well resources, lots of money. So people think that they will present the real local party challenge. The other interesting party is, of course, a party Bumi Nyalang, PBK. That is quite well known throughout Malaysia, simply because it is the first legal party that openly advocates for independence for Sarawak if it were to win the state election. There are lots of minor parties, there are 6 or 7 other minor parties who may decide to stand for the election. But again, all of them will champion Sarawak issues.
That's a really good kind of summary of the different parties that we need to look out for. You are coming in and out a little bit, James, so maybe if there's some movement, maybe just try to stay still so we get better audio quality. I want to ask the question about the methods of voting, because right now we're seeing that many Sarawakians who are based outside of the state may find themselves in trouble if they want to try and find a way back for voting. Do you think that the Election Commission is considering postal voting for Sarawakians residing in the peninsula? I think the estimates we have are like roughly 250,000 voters are outside of the state. Is this something the Election Commission should be considering?
Well, of course, the Election Commission in any other normal country, they should try to ensure that every citizen and any eligible citizen must be given a chance to vote, and they should try to make it as easy as possible. But this is Malaysia, right? Boleh land. So we go under different rules. So it is highly unlikely that they will allow people living in Malaya or in Sabah to go for postal vote. But like I said, it is highly unlikely, but of course they can change their mind at the very last minute. But I don't think so. So the way it works is that only people living outside Malaysia will do the postal vote. But my impression is that postal vote is not going to make that much of a difference this time around. So the reality is that this whole group of people, mostly young people, mostly professionals who work in the Klang Valley, places like Johor, which is a large Malaysian group, a lot of these people will not get a chance to take part in the election. Now, to be fair, right, this group also did not make a major impact in 2016 as well, the last time the Sarawak state election was held.
So we know you expect turnout to be not so great. You don't see a huge turnout in the urban areas, rural hold. What's your prediction of the outcome for the state election?
Well, it's too early to make precise prediction, simply because we don't know who is going to stand. As you know, in Sarawak, like Sabah and many parts of rural peninsula Malaysia, personalities count. So we have to wait until nomination day. But what is quite clear is that GPS has all the cards. In other words, they have the big advantage of machinery. And the biggest advantage they have is, of course, the new campaigning system. Their bonus advantage is, of course, that the opposition is highly divided. But they are not without any problems. They also have problems with candidate selection. As you know, right, everybody wants to be a YB. It is a instant meal ticket. It can last you, for a very, very long time if you know how to play the game. The other big problem with PBB, the dominant party in GPS, is that for the very first time, it looks very likely they're going for 47 seats, which is more than half the seats in the Sarawak Assembly. The Sarawak Assembly only has 82 seats. So this means, in theory, PBB can rule on its own. Because in 2016, PBB won 100% of all their seats. So that is creating a big of a political issue inside GPS itself. The second thing inside GPS where everyone is talking about is that the current chief minister incumbent, Abang Johari, he is very likely to move from the Malay majority seat of Satok. He is probably moving to a new seat. So I think there's something else to watch there as well. But in terms of the competitive seats, I think there are certain Dayak seats that are highly competitive, especially places around, in northern Sarawak. Bidayu seats. The Bidayu area is interesting. There are 8 Bidayu majority areas. And based on my own take, 4 of them are quite shaky. So everything depends on how the opposition, whether they can do a one-to-one fight. Because we know that if there's a multi-corner fight, you are basically given the seat to the GPS. So my prediction is that, yes, GPS will win. The only question is the margin of victory. And for the opposition side, if they can deny GPS 2/3 majority, I would regard that as a major success.
Okay, so James, GPS, in your opinion, takes Sarawak. We've seen Malacca happen already. What's your sense of how GE15 unfolds?
Right, GE15 and Sarawak elections are not connected at all. Sarawakians vote for very, very parochial reasons. Yes, they understand what's happening at the national level, but that is not how they decide on who to vote. So there is no connection between GE15 and the outcome of these Sarawak results. The only direct link is that if GPS stays in power and in GE15, if the Malayan results are inconclusive or there's no clear winner on the Malayan side, then of course GPS will play the role of kingmaker as well. And that is what many people from East Malaysia are hoping for. They want Sabah and Sarawak to be the kingmaker. So that is the only link between this election and in GE15.
All right, James, thanks very much for the chat this morning. That was Dr. James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, neatly laying out the land in terms of what to expect for the Sarawak state election, some of the issues that we should keep on our radar, and the link that it'll have with GE15. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.